We're glad you're here. My name is Rick Jones. I'm Minister of High School Repair. Some of you didn't know that. Most people know me as Peggy's husband, so that's probably didn't ask for anything better than that. We are part of a ministry that we want to, that a lot of you know about, but what we're going to be doing over the course of the next few minutes is introducing you to the 14, 15 different ministries that we have in pastoral care. Most people think we just do hospitals and bereavement. That's a good start, and we do a lot of that, but there's a lot of other things we do that can help support you as a department. I still want to say, how many of you are still stuck on Sunday school? Praise God. All right. Rest of us, a few of you that have LDS, and that's fine. I was almost a year before I realized before somebody told me what LDS stood for. And I just knew that I was teaching in an LDS department, and I was afraid to ask. But we're glad you're here. We're going to get started with Word of Prayer, and I want to introduce you. Well, I'm going to go ahead and introduce you to our first. And I'm going to let them excel. This is Fran. Fran works in one corner. We have an office that's about half the size, and all seven of us work in it. Peggy is there. Dow, associate. Denise. Jeanette in the back, and Sherry is over here. Is anybody else over there?
No,
that's it.
There's seven. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Dow's going to get us started, and he's going to introduce you to some of the things that he does. Don't let the table fool you. He just did this to make it look like he stays busy. Okay, let's pray. Father, we love you, praise you. We just thank you for this group that's here. We pray that over the course of these next few moments, we'll be able to introduce them to some helps that we can provide as pastoral care and as a ministry here at this church. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Rick. So, as Rick said, my name is Dow. I'm the Associate Minister of Pastoral Care, and my two main areas are hospital visitation and homebound. The hospital is not just hospital. It's any continued care, rehab facility, yes, of course, hospitals. We even have folks on our list that are in home hospice situations, and our goal is to be able to keep ministering to them, keep loving on them. As the speaker said, bless them with that hug. Remind them that they're still loved. Pray over them. We also will get together and anoint them with oil and pray over them. But we cannot do that unless you help us. The reason why is our list is quite comprehensive. There's quite a few people in the list or on the list, but we know that it is far smaller than the reality of the number of folks that we have. So if any of your colleagues, any of your LDS members are in the hospital, let me know. Call our office. We've got business cards on all our desks. Pick one of those up. But there's ways that you can help us out as well by looking up on the webpage, the church webpage, and seeing who is already reported and who's not reported. And in just a moment, I'll show you that on the TV behind us. The next ministry is our homebound ministry. This is one of our most recently refreshed ministries. We go to folks that cannot come to church on their own. We're calling this ministry Taking Church to Our Flock because they're still our flock. They're still part of our church. They're still going to get involved. They still have a lot to contribute. And our goal is to help them be able to do that. Most of what you see on this table is actually part of that ministry. We've got games to go play with them, books to read in preparation, even puzzles to share with them. We've even got DVD players that we can go and hook up at their house teach them how to use it so that they can still hear the message. We'll send them the message, Greg's preaching sessions. We'll send them different Bible study class recordings and let them keep connected in that way, but also visit them, call them on the phone, and send them cards to keep them connected and remind them again that they're still very much loved. This is actually one ministry that we're looking for a lot of volunteers right now. So if you're interested, we'll have the sign-up sheets. The first official launch of the new training is March 5th. It's a Sunday afternoon. We'll be providing lunch, and you're more than welcome to join us. And then one of our newest ministries, if not our newest ministry, is a spin-off of that, and we're calling it First Wheelers, and it's actually a wheelchair ministry. Some of our folks are homebound or unable to come to the church because the church is just simply so large. So we meet them in the parking lot. We help them get into the church and get to their seats. It sounds very simple, but you would see, I mean, just hearing the impact that this makes on their lives, seeing the tears in their eyes after we've been doing this 6, 8, 10 weeks, and they're still bragging about this amazing opportunity they have to come back to church. So we have only a couple ladies right now that we're blessing this way, but again, they're the ones that we know that need it. If you have anybody in your class that if they could get into the church, they could come back to church, let us know as well. Now let me just show you briefly on the computer or on the screen what we do with the pastoral care update list. Okay, so I'll show you first how to access it on your own, then I'll walk you through it briefly. So you just go to the Houston First webpage, you bring your pointer over to Ministries, drop down to Care and Support, and you click on Care and Support. That will take you to this page, and you're going to go to where it says Hospital Visitation. This lets you sign up to volunteer. This also lets you check out the prayer list. And this will also let you report somebody to us on the webpage. This is what it takes you to. You just scroll down and you click on download the latest hospital visitation list. I put this out at least once a day, or Denise will, at least once a day. But if we have a death or we have a number of updates, we will send it out more than once a day. Within a few minutes, it's up on the web page. Oh, they cut it off. Sorry. Well, at the top, it says Pastoral Care Update. It has the date. And we have it broken down in a number of different sections. First section are funerals, upcoming funerals. We keep it through the day of that funeral. So if the funeral was today at 10 a.m., you're going to see it there all day. The sympathies are there until they show up in our weekly guide. Same with birth announcements and upcoming surgeries. They're there until the day of the surgery ends. Then we have our current hospitalizations. These are the ones that we know about that are at MD Anderson receiving treatment right now. As you see, there's some that are outpatients. There's one that's in the hospital right now. I can almost guarantee you that this is a very small portion of the folks that we have. And then it goes on to the rest of the hospitals that we have. Methodist, Memorial Hermann, St. Luke's, etc. Then we have the continued care. Continued care is what would typically, a lot of folks still call nursing homes, but that's not the proper term. It's the continued care facilities, the rehab facilities, even the extended hospice care facilities. This is that list. And then at the bottom we have continued prayer and the emergency contact for pastoral care. And the last page is where you can enter. Here it should say volunteer or report a hospital, but you can just call me at that number, and we'll be more than happy to receive the hospital report. Let us know when somebody's there. Dee does a great job of reporting to me when somebody in her class is there.
Over-report.
No. Trust me, we appreciate it. And that's about all there is for me. So, Fran, I think you're next. Yes, ma'am.
Is that list public then? Anybody could
yes.
see that list
yes.
up?
Okay. Yes.
So do the people that are on it know that?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We
ask.
You ask
first.
Them first. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Okay.
How do you spell your first name?
D-A-U. It's right there. D-A-U, last name, A-Y-U-B.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
No worries. Oh, sorry. Well, yeah, that's my name.
Okay.
I want to say, too, that it's so important for us to know a person who's homebound. We do market on Arena as homebound, and then that generates a list for us, and then we actually send them their LBS material quarterly. And
Mature Living,
is that quarterly?
That's monthly.
Monthly. Uh-huh. So they are getting something all the time from us, but the volunteers are actually going to be trained and assigned to one, two, or three people to make a monthly face-to-face visit, cards, and phone calls, so that they will have their own
the relationship
and build a relationship. We will go into their home and do the Lord's Supper with them too. So that's very important that we hear from you. We have how many on the list now?
About 85 to 90 right now. There have been a few that have died recently, so we know that's
not all of them.
Has anyone read about if we would like to know the name of the person who has been assigned to that particular?
Sorry, I didn't hear the question.
The information available to them on who is assigned to that homebound person. I don't see any problem with that.
No, me neither.
Because there are two kinds of people assigned to homebound. There's a Stephen minister, and we have a group of
three right now.
Three. And then we're building those volunteers. Mm-hmm. And so we have three or four volunteers and not near enough people, volunteers to go around.
What about a connect group using Skype or something? I'm a geek.
So most of our people, we even have to go into the home and teach them how to go online to do the webcast.
Yeah. There's one of the ladies that is in one of the continued care facilities that I've taught her how to access the webcast 6 to 8 times, and I've written it out, and I keep doing it. I love to do it. But there are challenges.
We have DVD players to give to all of them, and then we can give them the CDs, the DVDs on the service.
Okay. We're still working out to make it as simple for them as possible. Mm-hmm. So if you have any suggestions, I'm all ears as well.
Okay.
Good questions. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let me tell you a little bit about Stephen Ministry. Stephen Ministry is an organization, a national organization, but it equips lay people like myself and like you in order to train you to provide confidential one-on-one Christian care for individuals who are going through a loss of a loved one, any kind of spiritual crisis, a death, maybe they're going through a long illness. And what a Stephen Ministry does is that they meet with that person on a weekly basis, one-on-one, to come alongside of them, to pray with them, to listen to them, and to give them encouragement, and also just to guide them spiritually using the Word of God. And in order to become a Stephen Minister, you have to go through a training. It's 50 hours of training. And that is done twice a year, in the spring and in the fall. And we're going to be having the spring training on February the 2nd for anyone who's interested in being a Stephen Minister. Once you become a Stephen Minister, you go through the 50-hour training, then you, when you are commissioned, you are required to serve for 2 years minimum as a Stephen Minister. And after those 2 years, if you wanted to renew and still continue, then you can do that. Once you finish all of your training and then you are commissioned, then you will be also meeting once a week on every other week, excuse me, bi-monthly. You would meet and with Stephen Ministry leaders in a group of your peers. And that's a requirement that you meet every other week with the Stephen Ministry leadership in order to, you know, keep you on track. And if you have any issues or there's anything that you want to discuss, and everything is confidential, so nothing is discussed about the people that you are ministering to. is basically, how are you doing? How can we help you as a Stephen minister to be a better Stephen minister? If you're having, you know, problems on, oh, what do I do? Do I, am I, you know, whatever. So if you also know of anyone who needs a Stephen minister, then, you know, please let us know, and you can do that through pastoral care. There's an online application if you want to be a Stephen minister that you would have to go online and you know, apply. But if you know of anyone that is going through any kind of crisis like this, then they have to call our office and let us know that they want a Stephen minister. You can't call us and say, oh, my friend Sherry, she wants a Stephen minister. Can you have someone call her? We can't do that. That person has to call us directly, okay? And so y'all have any questions at all about Stephen ministry? Yes?
I have a question. Uh-huh. Say there's a local church of 50 people, and obviously, can they send a person from their congregation here to get the Stephen training?
No, the training can't, no.
The church has to pay a registration fee, and the church has to be a member of it.
Yes.
Even if they pay the registration fee.
Yeah, if you just call me, then we can discuss ways that we can, because there could be some other churches in that area, you know, whatever. But just call me and we can work something out.
Okay.
But you don't have to be a member of the church or even a believer
to have a Stephen minister. Yeah. So even if it's someone outside of the church and you know them and they go to another church, we have, as a matter of fact, a lot of our people that come to us are not members of this church. So.
Okay, hi, I'm Jeanette, and I facilitate the grief share classes every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. It meets down the hall this way in room 249. It's a class for those who have suffered a loss, who are grieving hard for someone that they've loved. And it's a combination of video, the 13 video. There's a set of 13 different videos for different subjects concerning grief. It's the different stages that everyone goes through, and also the different emotions that everyone goes through. And we start lesson one. It's the first video. It's a combination. We'll watch the video. Then we'll have conversation back and forth with the people who are in the class. The class is a confidential class. You can talk about how bad it hurts, or you can scream and holler. People have pounded their fist on the table and said, I know he's in heaven, but I just want him back. And sometimes when people come in, they can barely say their name and say, I lost my husband, or I lost my sister, or the first time they come, they have a hard time just getting words out. But if they come back, then they talk a little easier the next time. And by the third or fourth time they come, they're interacting with everybody else. I've been associated with Grief Share for 2 years, and I've been amazed at the difference it makes in people. Sometimes we have people who, there's a person who's come in the last 6 months who said, my husband died 6 years ago, but I just kept working and kept working and kept working, and now I've retired, and I found out that I need to be grieving, and I need to go on with this and get through the grieving process and go through all the emotions. And grieving in a healthy way is hard work. You have to give yourself time to grieve. You have to not just keep stuffing it down and stuffing it down. And the Grief Share class helps people be able to do that. And the interaction between everyone else is important too. But we have a workbook that goes with each of the 13 videos. And you can start the class at any time. The videos are standalone. They don't have to be seen in a certain sequence. And lots of people go through the 13 series or the 13 videos, and then they keep coming. They're not necessarily ready to stop coming just because they've seen all 13. 90% of people go through it, maybe not one and a half times, maybe two times, but it's just a wonderful tool, a wonderful process for helping people. Yes.
And is this similar to Stephen Ministries, that they do not need to be a member of the church in order to come?
Do not need to be a member of the church. And, you know, we just ask them to sign up so we have their name and information so we can contact them if we need to.
And I guess I'm thinking, so this is something we can refer people to. I say this because I'm an estate planning and probate lawyer, and so obviously with probate, I'm meeting people all the time that's exactly what they're doing.
Yes.
And, you know, while I can help on the legal end, I don't.
Usually about 2 months in. Much earlier than that, they're not really ready to come. Mm-hmm. A time or two, we've had someone come in a month, and they've actually stuck it out. But most of the people come in, it's been 2 or 3 months since the death occurred. But yes, anyone you know, and even people, like I said, people who lost someone a year or two ago, but they just still are stuck in the grief, they can still benefit from it also.
Now, tell them real quick about the holiday thing.
We also have Surviving the Holidays. It's usually the Thursday before Thanksgiving. It's a different manual or different workbook, and we show a different video series. And we, instead of just a meeting from 7 to 9 every Thursday, we do it once a year, and it's a dinner meeting. And try to have it in the reception room every year. And it starts a little bit earlier than the regular 7 o'clock meeting, since we do provide dinner. But anyone is invited to that. People who have gone through Grief Share several times often come back to go through the Surviving the Holidays. It's just, it makes a difference in people's lives.
Any questions? Would it be easier if we stand in the front and you don't have to crane your neck?
We love our stuff, though.
I know.
Yeah.
We didn't plan very good, and I'm going to set it up, next year we'll do better. I promise. So I didn't have quite as many resources, so I can carry these over here for y'all. But a couple of the areas that I work with, I am the funeral coordinator. So Jeanette and I actually do that together. But so we help plan funerals. And so you are probably going to be, if you have a death in your family or know of someone who does, they'll call our office, probably talk to me, and we're going to get the process started of actually planning the funeral. If they need someone in their home immediately, or usually Rick and Peggy will be able to be right there in their home if needed. But anyway, so we'll plan the funerals, and usually a reception. Most likely, that's always available as well, and it's a free of cost. Our ministry, we get donations, and we're able to do that as part of ministry of Houston Baptist. We do that free of cost. We don't charge for use the facility and all that. So it's a wonderful ministry in that way. One of the things that we do for families or friends when they experience a death, we have a book series of 4 books that we send out about every 3 months throughout the year. And these were written through Stephen Ministry, one of the Stephen Ministry founders, thank you. And so we do this throughout the year, and when the final book comes out, it just meets them right where they're at, right before the anniversary of the person that they've lost. And so it's a really special thing that we do. A couple of the other ministries that I get to help with is The Gathering Place, and this is our ministry for memory loss. And so if you have a loved one with memory loss, so it could be Alzheimer's or Dementia, thank you. But whatever, you know, you might, like, whatever causes it.
Wantonism.
You can have time later on. But this is for them. So once a month, we have a program where we call them care partners. They come in. We have about 40 volunteers that are there to be with them. And so during this time, we're together from like 10 to 1. And we'll have lunch with them. We'll have a craft. We'll have a time of exercise. We'll have entertainment for them. So we keep them busy during that time. But they have one or two volunteers that just sits with them and visits with them during the day and is with them. And then at the same time during that time, for their caregiver, if they choose to, it's not mandatory, is that we have Common Ground. And this is a ministry to them. It's a support group that we have here for a couple hours, also upstairs. And it's with a couple volunteers that help lead it, but also we have a licensed counselor that's in there as well and just kind of helps them through what they're going through. And so I think that's it on my part.
Any questions? All right.
My name is Sherry Oradat, and I get the pleasure of helping with Can Hope. Can Hope is our cancer support group. How many of you know of people that have cancer, a family member, a friend? Well, a lot of you people don't know that we have a cancer support group. In fact, I was a member here for many years before that I knew that we had a cancer support group until I got cancer. Our cancer support group is wonderful. We meet the second Monday of the month. We have a fellowship meal at 6:45, and we meet in the reception room. We have a time of testimonies. We have a time of educational speakers. We'll have a time for people to just kind of share where they're at in their journey with cancer. In fact, this month, in February, Pastor Greg is going to come and share with us. And, of course, anyone is welcome. And then during the month of March, we have someone that's going to come and speak with us regarding exercising and cancer. But we'd love you to come and visit with us. It's the second Monday evening of the month. Please come.
And we end our time with prayer.
Prayer, yes. If anyone would like to be anointed and prayed for, just let us know. And the deacons are there, and they would love to pray over you. And we want to offer a great time of encouragement and to walk with you on your journey.
Yes, I have a question. Is this primarily geared towards adults, or do you have a division or for children that are going through
and their
parents that are going?
Parents can come, and of course children can, but it's really geared towards the adult.
I'm thinking if you've got a child with cancer, mm-hmm. and then ministering to that child.
Yeah. We have that file. Be parents for their children, and their children are the ones that's mm-hmm. going through the cancer.
Because when one member of the family has cancer,
the whole family is experiencing that cancer.
Mm-hmm. And it's very important that they know that there are other people who are experiencing the same things. There's strength in that. Good question.
And as far as the event coming up with exercise and cancer, mm-hmm. well, my body told me that if I exercise, I could get cancer again.
In fact, a lot of us have had cancer. I've had breast cancer.
I have colon cancer.
Oh, Rick?
He doesn't exercise, so he had cancer.
That's a problem.
Denise is a cancer.
Okay, ovarian.
Skin cancer.
Oh. Oh. I have skin cancer. Cancer.
There's so many of us.
All before we got into pastoral care.
Yeah.
So it's not it's safe to drink the water.
Yeah.
Not drink the air, but drink the water. As you can see, all of our ministries fit in together, the progression. And really, when pastoral care began, Rick has been the minister of pastoral care for over 25 years, and we began to see that when they're in the hospital and they get out, that's not the end.
when they're diagnosed with a devastating disease, that is not the end. And there are more support that we need to be giving our families. And so these have built one upon the other. It used to be that when another ministry came up and was presented to pastoral care, everybody started crying because that was going to be that much more work. I'm telling you that this team that the Lord has put together for us, laugh and shout for joy when we get another ministry put on us. And so this brochure that you're looking at has taken a long time to put together. Because first of all, nobody believed that we did all of those things. But this staff is the most wonderful staff because they work wholeheartedly, unendingly, tirelessly, and joyfully. And we love that. The two or three ministries that I coordinate Stephen Ministry in getting the word out to our church and the training and coordinating the leaders of Stephen Ministry. Hope House, I'm going to start with that. Hope House, the pastor, when Kelly's mom experienced cancer and they were down in the med center, they saw what families were experiencing when they were totally removed from their support system. And the Lord gave him a vision of Hope House. And he announced it from the pulpit one morning and then told us the next day we were going to take care of it. And so Hope House is our providing housing for families coming to Houston for medical treatment. It can be anything, but most of our families are at MD Anderson. We have four residences. We started out with a condo here at Bio Woods. After a while, it was against their bylaws for an entity to be there. So we had to sell that. We're subleasing two condos in the med center area, a mile from the medical center.
Cool.
Which is far more convenient for those families, mm-hmm. and not traveling the Galleria traffic,
right.
To get to appointments. And then we have two garage apartments in the homes of our church members that happen to be 3 miles from MD Anderson down Bel Air Boulevard, and they're exactly in the same position on either side of the freeway. I think the Lord just has a sense of humor with their wonderful garage apartments. And so we do not advertise except for being on the website. It is word of mouth. And it is amazing the stories of people who come to us. You know, we are instruments. We are conduits that the Lord just works through. And one comes available and we just sit there and wait. And we start praying for whoever the Lord is going to bring to us that day. And before the end of the day, we'll have a call and it'll be somebody, and their story is amazing on how they came to us. Now, the most amazing story we've had this week is that we had 3 applicants and they all had the exact same cancer in their tonsils or their tongues.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And that's just...
3 different parts of the country.
Yeah, 3 different parts of the country.
Yeah.
And so that's just amazing to us. What is God doing? And the thing we love to hear the most, because this is our heart, we want to be their family. We want to be their support system while they're here in Houston. And how they tell us that we have been a direct answer to their prayer. And we were Skyping one of our families who are coming in on Monday, and to see the whole family weeping and saying, you just can't imagine what an answer to prayer you are, because we didn't want to send our mom down there. Her sisters are taking care of us, but the kids said we were so afraid, and to know that somebody's going to love on her. Well, you're connected with that too, because once they come, if they're healthy enough, they can decide which worship service they're going to be in, and then we help put them with an LBS class for you to minister to them while they're here. Some of them can't because of health, but we still try to make that connection. And so if I call you, or Sherry calls you, and Sherry is my sidekick, and say, we have someone that we just want you to love on while they're here, would you please graciously help us with that family. The second ministry that I coordinate is called Phase 2, widows and widowers who are in the second phase of their life without their spouse. And that's a club that none of them ever wanted to be in. But when they become a widow or a widower, they become ours. And they're like our sisters, our brothers, our moms. And we watch over them and care for them. We have 400 widows in this church. We have a good, close relationship with at least 200 of them. We have just begun our widowers ministry, and we have 70...
Yeah, about 87.
87 widowers, and we now have about 12 active. We have a fellowship meal. Why do we eat so much in pastoral care? It's fellowship. It is so important to have fellowship. For Phase 2, the ladies, when we first began that, the reason we did it was for three things. Fellowship. They eat alone. Do you know how lonely that is? They eat alone. Second one is nourishment. They were not cooking for themselves. And so I cooked the entree and a vegetable and the neighboring covered dishes. Got to where they were all bringing desserts because they could stop by the store and get one. And now Sherry on the invitation says A through G brings this.
By the way,
good covered meal, nutritional meal. And then the third leg of that ministry is security. We want to make sure that they are secure, that they know they can call anybody at any hour of the day or night. Rick and I are both on call 24 hours a day. And so they can call us if something happens. We've asked them to put our phone number on their refrigerator. And if they fell, first thing an EMS is going to do is, or EMT, EMS, whatever, going to go to the refrigerator, and they're going to look for a phone number. And we've gotten many calls off of the refrigerator. And so that's important. And then that's how, that security leg of this ministry, that's how Men Serve got started. And I know you've seen the signs, and you know that we have volunteer men from the church who go into the widows and widowers' homes to do their honeydew jobs. And so the widow has to come to us and give us her request. Sherry and I visit in her home and see what that need is. And then we meet with the men's leadership portion and put that whole thing together for, we usually have an average of 130 men six times a year, so on Saturday, go out and go into the widow's homes. And we even have an emergency team that if something happens in between, they call us, and we go and take care of that. The windstorm the other night, that call the next thing in the morning, I've got a tree down on my car, and by 1 o'clock that afternoon, we had a team over there cutting down that tree. And we know some people even get roofs on their homes.
I'm not saying anything.
It is amazing what God can do with a willing and committed heart. Iron to Iron is our widowers ministry. And so we have young guys with elementary school kids and 85-year-old men. And they love on each other, and they have that thing in common that's so important. Okay, we want to leave it open for a little bit of Q&A and let you walk around and get some information. We have flyers. Don't take any of our books. If you come to the office, we'll order them for you. We have a resource library if they're especially on grief and suicide and lots of different books, so you can always come by and see what we have. We have applications for our Stephen Ministry training that's getting ready to start. If you feel like you have been given the gift of compassion, this is the area of ministry for you. If your people are coming to you and say, I want to serve, but I don't know where, give them one of our pastoral care brochures and see if there's something that we can do. But we can't serve your people unless you tell us or unless you educate them. So pass on the word. Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Get up and mill around and
sign up a volunteer on the volunteer sheet. Thank you for coming.
Yeah. Oh. Drop the bell down. No singing.